I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which we are recording this podcast, the Bidjigal and Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. We pay respects to elders past and present and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people from all nations of this land. So basically, I was at the Lansdowne at a gig and I bumped into someone and they were like, hey.
Yeah, and I was completely sober.
You do a podcast? And I was like, yes. And he said, I love podcasts. So I said, well, do you want to come on the podcast? And then we pulled out our calendars and, well, here we are, 9 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, I definitely remember that part.
So I'm here recording an episode with the incredible New Zealand-based producer, engineer, music manager, working like fire in the urban music scene. He is here in Sydney on a writing trip. It is Eddie. Hi, hi. Eddie.
Hi, how's it going?
Thanks so much for taking the time out of your crazy Sydney trip to jump on here and chat to me.
No, it's great, great. I really like podcasts, so yeah. I had to do it.
We're going to have great chats.
I know we will.
How long have you been in Sydney for so far this time?
This is my third week.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm flying out on Thursday.
Ooh.
So this is what my is second it? To last Tuesday. Day. Okay.
Yeah, and you've been pretty much jam-packed the whole time, hey?
Yeah, it's been good. I think, I feel like New Zealand's so small, and once you leave New Zealand, you realize how big the world is, and, you know, I don't know if you get that in Australia, because Australia's so big already.
Definitely, for sure, we do. I think especially industry-based stuff.
Right.
It's like, yep, it's hard here. It's a really
Have
hard industry.
Have you been
industry.
Somewhere else before?
Yeah, so I've been to the States. I've done Europe.
Oh, which part?
Yeah, New York, which I loved.
Oh, that's the big city.
Yeah.
I haven't actually been to that city, but I've been to Los Angeles.
Yeah, which I want to ask you about. Little letter.
Yeah.
But what I might start with is if you can just give us a little bit of a rundown, especially for those who have not heard of like your work and stuff, what you do, what your vibe is.
Yeah.
Cool.
My name's Eddie. I get known as Eddie on the Beat. Primarily because I used to just make beats, and my friends started calling me that. So then eventually my name became that. And then I guess after maybe like 10 years-ish, I started venturing out and doing some other stuff like mixing, managing. I was teaching at a high school.
I read this. So how did you get there?
COVID. So, yeah, COVID happened. I was about to go to New York.
Yeah, okay.
But then COVID happened. And then, you know, 3 years of our lives kind of just wavered past. But I was like, I still want to do something while we're locked down. So I did my teaching certificate after I did my Bachelor of Music at Auckland University and then started teaching at high school.
Yeah.
For, two to 3 years. And then it seemed like COVID was actually like, it's not over, but it's like, it's not going to lock us down anymore, I don't think. I feel like that phase of our life is hopefully over.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. When there was that massive outbreak again, I was like, no, we can't lock down again, please.
Yeah. Was it really bad here as well?
Yeah, really bad.
Because I saw news of like Melbourne and, you know, riots and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had to like... We had certain hours of the day we could exercise and we could only go within 5 kilometers of our house and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
seriously?
Yeah, yeah.
So you couldn't even just freely walk outside?
Only between certain hours.
Really?
And you could, but you had to stay within like a 5 kilometer radius of living.
It sounds similar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, it's crazy to think about those times.
Yeah. But basically after I stopped, after COVID kind of phased out, I was kind of like, I feel like I'm meant to make music and I wasn't doing as much as I'd like while I was teaching because very much the routine was like wake up at 8 or like 7, get to school at 8, teach till like 3:30, leave at like 4, go to my session at 5 and then that'll finish maybe midnight, 1 a.m. and then go home and then repeat.
I feel like I'm kind of living that life now.
Really?
Well, yeah, because not as a music producer, but I do acting. But it's like I don't have enough of an acting career to do it full time.
Yeah.
So I have a full time job and then I do acting outside of hours. So then I'll start like doing a theatre show and I'll rehearse from like 7:30 PM till 11:30 at night, three times a week, and then do a full season for a month where I'm doing like six shows a week as well as working full time.
Wow.
I know.
That's and I'm something.
Like, oh, how do I make that jump to like do it full time?
Yeah.
But still.
When you say theatre, do you do musicals as well?
I don't perform in musicals, but I direct them.
Oh.
Yeah, but I much prefer, yeah, act in plays.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm not a singer.
No?
No. Yeah. I hum along at home, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm an avid car singer.
Great. We love car singers.
Yeah. So back to you doing music producing and stepping out of teaching.
Yeah.
Was it scary to come back out of teaching and then go into it full time?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have the support system in New Zealand. Called music supervision, and it's kind of like therapy. It's like music therapy.
I love that.
Where I just dump everything anyways. I don't know how many times I actually talked about music, yeah. but it was great. And one of those topics were like switching to full-time music and transitioning to full-time music. And I think that was something that they talked to a lot of people about, transitioning. And so, yeah, it was scary. But yeah. At the end of the day, it's kind of like ending a relationship with your full-time job, you know? There's no easy way to do it. You kind of just have to rip off the Band-Aid. Because initially I was like, oh, maybe I'll like go full-time and then we'll go part-time. And then we'll go casual, like once a week kind of thing. And then maybe relieving. And then stop.
Yep.
And then, I don't know, the advice that I got was just like if I keep allowing myself to have that comfort and that option, I'm never going to have my full effort in music.
Yes.
I'm always going to have like some of my effort somewhere else scattered.
Mm.
And instead of doing what I'm trying to do, which is just pull full force in music, it's kind of going to be like a divided attention.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And I feel that.
And he said that I'd be doing it for the wrong reason,
mm-hmm.
because I'm doing it like the way that I'm talking about it, it's like I'm doing it because it's like a safety net, right?
Yeah.
Rather than because I love it and this is my passion.
Oh, God, I feel that every day. I'm like, oh, off we go.
Because I love teaching.
Yeah.
But if I'm not doing it full time, it just feels like I'm kind of not doing it. I'm not giving it my all.
Yeah. And then do you find that, and this is only something because I feel this, it's like by the time I do my full-time job and then I go to like my acting thing or like whatever that creative outlet is that I'm not doing full time, I'm almost like creatively burnt out because I'm so tired. I'm doing too much.
Yeah.
And I can't put my all into.
How many coffees did you have a day?
Well, I cut coffee out. I'm a decaf gal.
Oh,
now,
no.
I know.
I don't think we can keep talking. No. Yeah. Know, that's
it's
that's
been 12
healthy.
Months of no coffee now.
Was that a conscious decision?
Yeah.
And okay, before you quit coffee.
Yes.
How many coffees were you drinking?
Only three.
Oh, yeah. That's roughly.
Because I'd have like a double shot in the morning and then probably one a little later.
Right. Okay. Now that's sensible.
Yeah. And then I was just like, wow, I'm an anxious mess. I should
Did it make you anxious?
So anxious. And
Why?
Also super nauseous.
I get the nauseous part. Especially when you have like a double shot before you eat anything.
Yep.
And then anything you eat after that is like.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt like it was, my heart was racing. I couldn't like, I was anxious. I don't know why it was making me anxious, but yeah, it was. And I cut it out and I still have a decaf every morning as like a placebo, like had my morning coffee and it works.
Right.
It took a while.
Does it?
But it works. The placebo effect is working for me.
I have a lot of friends that drink coffee, but they can't feel the effects, but I think they drink it for the same reason.
Oh, okay. They can't feel like, the effects? Wow.
Nah. So one of my friends said that when he drinks coffee, he can just feel his heart beating really fast, but he won't feel awake or anything.
That's so wild. So we were talking, that's actually really cool that New Zealand has that.
Yeah. I feel like I feel like mental health is such a big thing in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So big. I think also because New Zealand's so small, there's a lot of towns that don't have many, like, aren't very populated.
Mm.
And you know, when you're not, I feel like when you're not surrounded by people and you don't get to see the full kind of scale of what life can be, you just kind of believe that whatever your surrounding is, that's what life is.
Yeah.
And I feel like in small rural, like cities and towns, it can be tough for mental health because, you know, you only see a little bit of what life is and you think that's the whole thing.
Mm.
You know, so then you're like, oh, that's kind of not the vibe.
Mm. And when you were making the switch over and you had that support, what do you think it would have been like without it? Like, do you think you would have really struggled? Like, was that a huge, how much did that impact you and what you were doing having that support?
I think it was good because, yeah, it's one of those things, it's like you don't really know what it is until it's gone.
Mm.
And I guess I've had it.
Mm.
But I feel like I would have just not had an outlet.
Yep.
It kind of just feels like you put like another weight on your backpack every day until someone's like, okay, here, let me carry for a bit.
Mm.
You know, but then he was telling me that like therapists have therapists.
I'm not surprised.
So then, man, it's just this weight just, it gets passed down, and I'm sure that, like, for a lot of therapists, they take a lot home as well.
Yeah.
Because it can't be easy holding on to everybody else's.
No, but how good is that, that if therapists have therapists, and it's like this whole thing of, like, building the community that everybody's kind of supporting each other.
Yeah. And then the guy at the end, the final guy who carries everybody's.
Well, hopefully it's, like, gets better and better as it goes down the line, you know?
Hopefully.
That's what I'd like to think.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So outside of, you were saying that you were speaking also not just about working in the music industry to this person. You were speaking about, you kind of were just unloading a whole lot of shit.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Just relationship stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of relationship stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like since high school, I was on like a loop of bad selection.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally felt like it was just like a loop that wasn't going to stop.
Mm.
And so yeah, we're hoping to break that cycle this year.
Yeah. Yes. I'm rooting for you.
Thank you.
I want to touch on that a little more if that's okay.
Yeah.
Let's go think about my
house. Anything.
Anything goes.
I'm
with Eddie.
An open book.
I love that. So managing your mental health now. What do you do?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that question. I actually have a system for it.
Really?
Yeah, I actually wrote it down last night.
Ah.
I should get it out.
Yeah, get it out. I love this.
I made a system, and like a mental system, and then yesterday I was like, I'm going to put this down.
Mm.
So I have like a routine goal. So every day I'm going to do something active.
Yep.
Every day I'm going to do something to do with my career.
Yep.
And then every day I'm going to do something that's social.
That's so good.
And so I have to tick all three boxes every single day. So, but it doesn't have to be the same thing because active could be anything. You could go for a walk. You could go for a bike ride. You could go play tennis. You could go to the gym.
Yep.
You know, and then social is like family or friends.
Yep.
And then, you know, career is like I could do a session or I could just spend time working on something else.
Yep.
But something to do with my career.
Yep.
And then that way it makes every day interesting because it's like, what do I want to do today that's active? Or who do I want to catch up with today?
Yeah.
You know, and I think about that. And
you know what do I love about that is it's like, those are easy goals to tick. It's not like, oh, I have to do a 1-hour workout. I have to do, you know, I have to go out on a social dinner with someone or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, nope, I just have to do something active, something social.
Exactly. And it's like, if I don't feel like seeing anyone, I could literally just go to my parents' house and that's social because then they're going to want to catch up with me. They're going to want to know about my life anyways.
Yeah.
And that's the easiest. I feel like those three things are really important in maintaining a balance.
Yeah.
And I know that when I didn't have that system in place, I was just all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that is super great. I really like that.
Do you feel like you tick all three of those boxes every day?
No.
Mm.
let's unpack that. Okay. No.
How does that make you feel? Yeah.
Look, I have almost. I definitely in the last 3 weeks have been like active every day because And I'm normally pretty good at being active. I would say I tick the active box. Yeah. So the last 3 weeks I've done a run every day.
What's your pace?
My pace, six and a half.
That's my pace. That's great. Yes. My friends are all like 5:15, 4:45. Nope. I'm like, how?
Slow burn. Yeah. I do about 5Ks in 32 minutes.
That's really good. Yeah. I do about 3Ks and I give up.
You know what? It's the effort that counts, you know?
Yeah.
I did my first weight workout this morning.
First ever?
In this year, because I've just been running and walking.
Right.
And weight, I was like, so good. Get it together.
Like, Kate, a balance of both of those are really good.
Yeah. Mm. So I'm trying to do two a week now.
Nice.
I also have a Kelpie.
What's so that?
A dog. The Kelpie is the breed of the dog.
Right.
She's like a working dog, so I've got to walk her every day. Mm. So she's good motivation. So let's talk a little bit more about your music and stuff.
Yeah, we should.
Seeing as that's what you do.
Yeah.
So you do writing sessions, you go to Sydney, you go to LA. What does like a week look like when you do that?
I wake up and I just... Yeah, well, I mean, like this trip, I've had two sessions every day.
Mm.
So I'll wake up. I actually brought my instant coffee with me from New Zealand.
Love it.
And a plastic cup.
Yes.
So the goal was like, oh, you know, if I'm really struggling, I can, like in my day in the life video, I'll make my coffee before I go to sleep. And then the first thing I do when I wake up, no, I just have it on my bedside table.
Oh,
and so when I wake up,
I did see that.
I reach out for it,
yeah,
down it, and then I'm ready.
So it's your safety net there on the bedside table. Yeah, Eddie.
Yeah, but I have my black, my long
cold
black
brew
today. Yeah.
Long black, yum.
Yeah, but it'll be like coffee session one and then like a lunch break.
Yep.
Session two, dinner break.
Yep.
And then by then it's like basically 11 or 12.
Mm. And yeah, then, you guys have been doing long days.
Yeah, like sessions probably all last around six-ish hours.
Mm.
So by the time the second session's done, like the day's over.
Mm. Yeah. And how do you find new artists to work with and stuff? How do you keep keeping that fresh?
It was crazy because last year I have an artist that I manage called Hales, and he blew up in LA.
Awesome.
This American guy, his name's the Card Guy, but I think he's got like 16, 17 million followers or something, but he randomly stumbled upon Jerry and was like, hey, would you get a matching tattoo with me for $1? And that has like 70 million views on YouTube right now.
Oh my goodness.
But that, like, cause he tagged the song in the video. So then his music blew up. His following like skyrocketed, and then labels started watching him. And so then we were supposed to come here last year to get him signed and stuff. He had a deal on the table, and then everybody from that label got fired.
Oh, wow.
And so
let's
we flew here, and then they were like, there's nobody in the building anymore.
Oh my goodness.
Apart from one dude, and then he was like, kind of restructuring now.
Okay.
Yeah, so... But they had already set us up with sessions,
mm-hmm.
well, set him up with sessions, and I have a friend, Aaliyah, that works at Sony, and she was really, really kind and kind of introduced me to a few people.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, it was just like I met them and then their friends and then their friends, and then I would do sessions with all of them. And then, so now it's just like this bigger pool
networking.
Of networks, yeah.
Yep.
And so every time I come back, I feel like I meet like... double the people that I did before.
Yeah. So networking is super important, hey?
Yeah. And I kept telling people that I want to do more podcasts. So that was real random when you said that that night. That
so
was crazy.
Good. I'm going to jump back to your video that you did. You're talking about your day in the life
day
of
the life.
Music producer in NZ.
Yeah.
You made this really killer smoothie.
Oh, yes.
Protein smoothie. Can you talk us through what you put in your killer smoothie?
Yeah, well, like, I'm quite into fitness,
mm.
and I'm really sad that every time I come to Oz or, like, LA, I can't really, I just don't have time to do it, because I know that I'm in crunch time and I'm spending money to, because all these trips, I have no expectations of any returns.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if I meet someone and I make some cool music, it's practice for me, firstly, and secondly, it's like, I'm growing a community.
Yeah.
And I feel like if the focus is less on the money comes naturally later anyways.
100%.
But anyways, getting back to the topic.
Yeah. The smoothie.
in New Zealand, we have this ice cream.
Oh, God.
And it's called real fruit ice cream. I think, I swear every country would have it. But basically what happens is they use like this ice cream machine where it blends like real strawberries with vanilla ice cream.
Oh, gosh.
And it tastes superb, marvelous. And so basically I have this vanilla ice cream flavored protein.
Yes.
You can already imagine I'm blending strawberries with frozen strawberries with the vanilla ice cream and then a banana.
Yum.
And it's just, and sometimes I'll put like chia seeds, blueberries, peanut butter.
I love peanut butter.
On acai bowls? Oh.
Oh, damn. It's so good.
Yeah.
I love acai bowls.
Yeah, I discovered them last time I came here.
Really?
We don't have them in New Zealand.
What?
I've tried an acai bowl in New Zealand since I discovered them, and it's watery. The acai is like soup.
No,
it's not frozen.
No, you got to have, it's like got to be sorbet texture.
Yeah.
Yum.
Yeah.
There's a place here in Marrickville. Did you get one?
Yes. Yes. Is it opposite
Three
the
Monkeys
laundromat
or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, so good.
So good.
So good.
It's
and
so good.
There's a place inside Broadway at the bottom level, and it's there's like pastries and stuff.
Oh, did you do them in there?
That's my favorite.
Oh,
at the
my
moment.
Gosh. And they also do acai at Yochi.
Yochi,
yeah,
yes.
They do acai there.
Yes, are they good?
I've not had one. I've only had the chocolate.
Nah, like, and they put the muesli and like the granola underneath.
Ah.
And then, the peanut butter. And then the seasonal fruits. Oh,
so good. What's your go-to? This is a great question, seeing as we're talking about food. What's your go-to cuisine?
Acai bowl. That's all I can think of right now. Nah. I've been having a lot of Thai. There's a lot of Thai food here.
Thai.
And Vietnamese food.
So if you're at a Thai restaurant, what do you order? What's your order?
I've been getting like crab fried rice.
Yeah. I also love eggplant dumplings.
I've never heard of that in my life.
An eggplant dumpling?
Yeah.
Salt
what
and pepper
is that?
Tofu?
Yes.
That
That's
I also
nice.
Love. I love salt and
but
pepper
you're
tofu.
But you're not vegan.
No, I'm not vegan. We were talking about Wagyu beef. I love Wagyu beef.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Chinatown.
Dom needs... He said he needs... We keep talking about Dom. He needs to take you to that spot. It's
yes.
Great.
Oh, yum. K-Barbecue, where you get to cook your own.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, the one in Bankstown. Have you been to that one?
No.
It's a bit expensive. It's like $65.
That's all right.
But
it's good.
Like... It's thick. Like with three
yum.
C's.
Yum.
It's really good. You need to go.
With three C's. Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Thick with three C's.
Yeah.
Wagyu beef in Bankstown. Yum.
Yeah. You need to go.
That's so good. Okay. My, funnily enough, next question on the list here is also about food.
Let's do it.
I must have known you're a foodie when I wrote this. If there is a specific dish or food that you could eat or that you had to eat every day for the next year, what would it
be? Acai bowls.
Well, didn't even have to think about it.
Acai bowls. I literally had... I love them so much that one night when I got back to my hotel, I had already had it for breakfast that day.
Yeah.
And I got back from my last session that night. I'm like, I feel like I want another acai bowl. So I paid $30.
Uber Eats.
I Uber Eats another one. And it was like small, but it was like, I needed it.
So good.
Yeah,
so
I love
good.
Acai bowls.
So we talked about you loving physical health. Sport, being active.
Yeah.
We talked about your three little checklists for the day to look after your mental health. When did you realize that your mental health was something really important that you needed to look after? Like, when did you come up with that checklist? Was that a recent thing?
After a breakup.
There you go.
It's always after a breakup because then you're like...
Relationships are hard.
But, you know, in a relationship, you dedicate so much time to a person that when it all of a sudden rips off and, like, you know, it's like you have to figure out how to fill a void.
Mm.
And it wouldn't be healthy for you to fill a void of a person with another person because that's just toxic.
Yeah.
So that's when I kind of came up with the routine thing. And I guess I never thought about it. It was actually my supervisor / therapist.
Yeah.
He was telling me like boxes that I should kind of tick or like things that I should get through.
That's so great.
Yeah. And then it definitely takes time. I think inevitably, when you go through a breakup or of any kind, whether it's a friend or a partner or like some kind of relationship, like when something changes so suddenly, there's no easy way to just get over it.
Yeah.
Definitely always takes time. I found that it takes at least a month and a half.
Yeah.
For you to just kind of feel, you know, when you wake up and then you just want to go back to sleep.
Yep. And I'm like relatively good at mornings. So.
Yeah, yeah. Like I am definitely not a morning person, but if I'm overseas and I'm grinding, then
yeah,
I'll get up.
Yeah.
Without an issue. But
yeah.
Like this morning.
Yeah, true. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm on the grind.
Yeah, and you have two sessions after this or a session after this?
Two, yeah. Two. Back to back.
So one little question too is if there was someone out there who listens to this podcast who might be trying to figure out like what elements they could bring into their life to lift them up or help them going through a breakup or anything like that, what would, from your experience, and obviously myself and Eddie are not medical professionals, but what from your experience, what advice would you throw at someone?
I think this one I actually learned from a book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
I've heard of this book. I have not read it. I'm not your.
It's a really, really good book. Basically, the whole book is like, a lot of people, it's like when they go through a lot of traumatizing things, including myself, like we're used to kind of our natural response is like, oh, it's not that bad. Like, I'm sure it'd be fine. But the book was kind of like, nah, it's not fine. It's actually pretty shit. But first acknowledging that it's shit and being like, now let's deal with it. Like, this is shit, but that's okay because shit happens.
Yep.
Now let's deal with it. So it's like, it's not ignoring the issue. It's like acknowledging that it is an issue, that it's not okay, but we're going to survive and we're going to work through it. I think, yeah, acknowledging things is really important because I think it's easy to deflect and be like, everything was their fault or whatever.
Yeah.
But then when you acknowledge all the things that had like potentially gone wrong, you start learning a lot about yourself. And I think when you start learning about yourself, that's when the growing happens. Because then you're like, oh, I did this and this, and I won't do it anymore because I've acknowledged that it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's doing that and then taking time to be like, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to kind of take some time, go for some walks, I feel like always getting the blood pumping is so, so good for like just releasing endorphins and feeling good.
Yep.
And then also even just eating healthy.
Yep.
Eating clean is really good for your mind as well. Because if you have like, and I love Macca's, but if you have like a family pack to yourself.
Yeah. Or I actually might throw up if I did that.
Yeah. You just feel really bad the next day too.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only are you feeling crappy now, you're going to set yourself up with a whole following day of feeling kind of bloated.
Yep.
Greasy.
Yep.
You know?
Regretful about eating that too.
Yeah, but I think it all starts with acknowledgement.
Yeah, nice. I reckon that's great advice because I completely agree. All right, here's a fun question to finish off before we do this thing called Scenario, which is like a little game.
Okay, great.
So the last question is, if you could have a dinner party with three people in the industry, who would it be and why?
That's a really good question.
Alive or not alive?
Maybe three people I'd like to have dinner with. This is a tough question. Okay. I think Phil Knight.
Phil Knight.
You know Phil Knight.
Why?
Because I read his book.
Okay.
Shoe Dog. And it was, I just feel like it'd be interesting to hear him talk about his life or just... I feel like he would just say wise things because he's been through a lot.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs.
Yes. That's a great one.
Yeah. I feel like these people, because I know that they've built a lot from nothing.
Yeah.
Like Phil started selling just shoes from his garage of his parents' house, you know?
Yeah.
And look at him now.
Yeah.
He signed Michael Jordan.
That's insane.
Yeah. So Phil Knight, Steve Jobs... Maybe just, I don't know, Billie Eilish.
What?
I just...
What a human.
Yeah, I just, literally.
Incredible talent.
And so young.
So young.
Yeah, and still.
From what I see, and I have to say I'm not a big, social media follower of a lot of huge celebrities because I get overwhelmed by, the lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
Billy seems like she's absolutely, for someone so young, got a really great grip on.
Yeah, and I feel like she has a lot of life experience for someone who's so young.
Yeah.
So I'd love to, unpack that with her.
That'd be an very interesting dinner party. All right, this is the final thing of the podcast. The scenario is where I'm going to read out a scenario that's been given by someone that's got sent through on Instagram, and you and I have 3 seconds to pose in an appropriate reaction to that scenario.
Okay.
So it's kind of like we're creating a still photograph of the scenario.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
3 seconds?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so the scenario is you have been told, and this was sent in from a person on Instagram.
They do this at drama.
I guess it's kind of like that.
It's like drama in school.
Yeah.
They're like photo frame freeze. Okay.
So you have been told that there is an... this is appropriate for this podcast. We're talking about food. You have been told that there is amazing food next door and the people have just left and you're allowed to go in and eat the rest. So your reaction to that, finding out that you're allowed to go in and eat the rest of the food, is ready? 3, 2, 1. This is my reaction. I'm running.
I feel like I'd be disappointed because I don't want to eat someone's leftovers.
There's more.
There's more?
There's snacks and people have got... We're allowed to go get them. Yeah!
Oh my God.
It's so funny when stuff comes up and you're like, yeah, I don't know how I would react. Running? Yeah, I'd be running.
Right. Yeah. I'd be
anyway,
lining
that's
because
I love food.
Yeah, I love food.
Anyway... that's just supposed to be a weird, fun ending to the podcast.
That was weird and fun. So you got me there.
Well, that brings us to the end. Thank you so much for joining me.
No, thanks for having me.
Also, just a reminder to everyone who's listening, we are not medical professionals. So if there is anything that you are looking for support for, there will be some links in the show notes to the Listen Up Music page where you can find help. And all the things that they offer for extra support and bits and pieces like that.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Enjoy your trip back home to New Zealand.
Thank you. I appreciate you. And I appreciate you guys.
We appreciate you.